Wondering how much of this program has been taped. No, seriously. It's the phone program, the NSA. It's here to stay. The House narrowly refused to cut the cord, if you know what I mean. The vote continues down the same path. And this is the NSA program. You all know this. That collected hundreds of millions of Americans' phone records in the, what they're saying is the fight against terrorism after an incredibly long argument over this. Kind of surprising in a way because there were a few people that were on the fence, and I really think earlier in the day if I was prognosticating, I would have said flip a coin because I'm not really sure which way this goes. In the meantime, you have, you know, Ed Snowden staying at the Moscow airport. Wonder how he's enjoying his stay. It's been over a month now. It's been that long. Do you believe it? And he's getting the temporary asylum from Russia, apparently. But the end game is to get to Latin America. In Washington, the White House is saying they're looking for clarification of his status. The State Department is saying that allowing him to leave the airport would be deeply disappointing. And so every day, I guess, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, I mean, every day, what I heard, is telephoning the foreign minister, the Russian foreign minister, about the situation. Imagine that. Yeah, Mr. Minister, I want to talk to you again. Hello, Sergey. Anything new? Is he still at the airport? Uh-huh. Yeah. What's he eating? Yeah. We know we have his passport. Uh-huh. What do you think Putin's going to do? I mean, what kind of conversation do you think they're having? I mean, they're dancing around the issue. So Bolivia, Nicaragua, Venezuela, we know they're all possibilities for his future. But the question is, what's the flight route? What's the flight route? That's the escape hatch, though, because he's not going to stay in Russia forever. All right, so quickly at the top, let's go to our pal Izzy. She's on Royal Watch. I'm sure she wants to throw her 2 cents in about that little baby George. Hey, Izzy.
No, I'm disappointed in the name. But
you don't
okay.
Like the name. You don't like the name. Okay.
It's okay. It's their baby.
I like that. It's their baby.
Never mind the millions of fans. It's their baby.
There you go. It's their baby. You name it you want.
Just a real quick shout out to Ray in Missouri. I wonder if he got his crops in. It's been a while since I've heard him.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's probably busy.
Yeah, I was gonna say he has to get up early and get out there and plow and plant.
Yeah, exactly.
But he better be already done planting. But a shout out to Carl in Spokane. I cannot believe he brought up the Rothschilds.
That was good, huh?
Oh, good. I'm not the only one complaining about him.
Yeah.
How many times have I brought them up that they are going to be the ruination of the world because they are the bankers of the world?
Yeah.
4 presidents have been shot, all 4 that tried to get rid of them. Well, actually, 2 did. But Andrew Jackson survived, but he let it be known that if he should be assassinated, it would be by the Rothschild bankers. And you have to really go back to about 1812 and study through Mayer Rothschild and Nathan Rothschild. I mean, they're brutal. They're just nasty. And honest to God, it is why we have the Federal Reserve System. No other reason.
The Federal Reserve System has to go. I mean, Ben Bernanke, the wise Buddha's terrible.
By Rothschild.
Yeah.
And by the way, everybody out there, it expires December 13th of this year.
Yeah.
The 100 years is up, and everybody should be writing there. I've said this before on your show.
Yeah, you have.
Write your elected people and tell them to get rid of it. Do not renew it because they are the ones that hold our money. And when Kennedy changed it back, he actually did change it, and we went back to silver certificates. He was dead within a few months, just like Buchanan was, Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And honest to God, I mean, it's important that people understand how impacting the Rothschild Bank, and I know a lot about this because
you've done the work. Yeah.
Well, oh, I've studied them for years and decades. But my cousin was a head archivist at St. Swithin's Lane Bank in London.
Ooh.
He worked there for over 40 years.
Oh, so you know. I mean, because you're right about the Rothschild family goes back to England and France during the Napoleon days.
Oh, in Germany. They actually
came.
You have to go back to about the 15th century. But really mostly about the beginning of the 19th century. Because it's just, they grew just tremendously under the son of the original mayor, Rothschild. And honest to God, they have just controlled us for years. And as one of them said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, I care not who the puppet is of the English throne as long as I control the money. And they pretty much said the same thing about America. I don't care who you put in office as long as I control the money.
Yeah, it's crazy because they have a dynasty to hold through how many five sons, all the, yeah, it's nuts.
The five arrows.
Yeah.
Yes, the five sons signifying the five arrows is one of their logos. And I think their primary logo now, it comes on all the little calendar books. I have an old calendar book from their bank that my cousin gave me about 20 years ago.
Wow.
But still, when I heard Carlin going, I just popped right up, said, oh, my God, somebody's mentioning the Rothschilds. Because, you know, okay, a lot of people do not know this history. They do not know we are controlled by a foreign entity.
Big time. Yeah.
All the financial issues go through Rothschild and Sons, all of them.
Yeah.
They are the world's financiers and the Illuminati, if you want to believe that, which I do. I have a great book that you cannot hardly get, and I had to go digging into the University of Wisconsin bowels. I mean, it was down buried in their basement, but I kept looking and looking. It took me about 2 years, and I found this book, and oh, my God, it was frightening. And I thought, I need to find it again. It's in my house here somewhere.
Yeah, tell us the name of the book. You'll have to find it and tell us.
Well, it's a very short book. It was written by a Japanese man, actually, and he went into hiding.
Because
you know that Senator Hines, was killed, and they believe that his plane crash was on
related.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he was going after the Federal Reserve Bank hot and heavy, as was another representative whose name has slipped my mind. But really, people pay attention and read about it. And if you don't want to read about it, at least call your elected people and tell them, do not renew the Federal Reserve Act that expires in December.
Oh, so well said. Very well said, Izzy. Thank you. She's right about that, and it's easy to find out about the Rothschilds and all the years they go back to trace the history, and they had the money. They really did control the loot and still do because they made so, so, so much of it. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plants? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
You know, I don't do this too often, but every single week, we know the president has his weekly address, but there's also a Republican address, a weekly Republican address. And this one wasn't too long, and I thought that they hit the nail on the head on a couple of quick things, because we're starting to see now that the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, is not what it was billed to be. Big surprise. We know we did this. I mean, if there's anything we did on America Tonight, it's uncovered everything we could about Obamacare, because what does it mean to you? You know, all those town hall meetings, people were concerned. Okay, I'm a single mother. I have a child. What does that mean? What is my, how much is my insurance going to cost? What's it going to cover? And people fumbled for, people meaning politicians, fumbled for the answers because they didn't know the answers. Claire McCaskill got hammered on this in Missouri. Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania got hammered on this. I think it's part of the reason he lost the election, besides jumping ship and deciding, well, I'm going to go to a different party because I can't stand this party anymore. But anyway, it really showed you that, you know, health above everything, when you've got to go and you're slammed with only certain doctors you can pick, and then you have insurance, you don't have insurance because of who you're working for and the situation, or you just left a job. I mean, there's a zillion scenarios, and that's the thing. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's ridiculously complicated. Now that it's starting to unfold, the problems are already coming to light. And this is part of the address here, that the Republican address, part of what they talked about, which is why I wanted you to hear it. Congressman Tim Griffin from Arkansas and also Todd Young from Indiana. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Congressman Todd Young from Indiana's 9th District.
And I'm Congressman Tim Griffin from Arkansas's 2nd District. Equal justice under the law is a basic founding principle of our country. As Americans, we want to see our children have the same opportunities we've had. We want them to work hard and have a fair shot at achieving success. So whenever Washington helps businesses and ignores families and workers, Americans have a duty to speak up.
Recently, the Obama administration announced it was going to delay the employer mandate in the president's health care law. They took this action, they say, because businesses are having a hard time complying. Well, that's great news for big businesses, but it's left many hardworking taxpayers asking, what about me? What about my family? After all, the law's mandates are just as daunting for individuals, and they don't have an army of lawyers, lobbyists, and accountants at their disposal to make sense of it all. The government just put out an additional 145 pages of regulations on the individual mandate alone. How are ordinary citizens supposed to keep up?
Republicans understand Americans are worried about the impact of the president's health care law, so we acted. Because let's be fair about this. If the president's going to help out businesses by exempting them from the law, he ought to give the same relief to folks like you. That's why, this week, the Republican-led House of Representatives passed a bipartisan bill I introduced authorizing President Obama's delay of the employer mandate.
The House also approved my bill, the Fairness for American Families Act, which provides the same relief to the rest of the country. Unfortunately, many Democrats voted to stand with big business and against fairness for individuals and families. President Obama threatened to veto our proposals altogether. We take that to mean he thinks it's fair to let businesses off the hook while leaving middle-class families in harm's way. Well, it most certainly is not, and we urge him to reconsider his veto threat. We also call on Democrat leaders in the Senate to give our proposals a vote immediately in the name of fairness.
Republicans will continue to do everything we can to protect all Americans from the president's top-down, one-size-fits-all, Washington-knows-best approach to health care that is driving up costs and hurting our economy. The story I recently heard from a 21-year-old Hispanic American who runs a small business in my district is becoming all too familiar. He currently employs 45 workers, and according to him, he's ready to hire 10 or 20 more. But he can't, because Obamacare makes him choose between new, higher insurance premiums, or hefty fines. He said, quote, "The government should be my partner, so I can help my employees prosper. I can help them more than the government, but I'm literally not able to," end quote. The whole thing's a train wreck, plain and simple.
Bottom line, the sooner we can delay, dismantle, and repeal the president's health care law, the sooner we can get people back to work and focus on expanding opportunity for everyone. For now, thank you for listening.
And thank you for speaking in support of Fairness for All. Have a great weekend, everyone.
New when it comes to Obamacare. The problem is that these decisions in trying to repeal and whatnot, the numbers aren't there. I mean, that's the bottom line. Right now, the numbers aren't there. And unfortunately, this is a common denominator for all of us. Like I always say, look in your purse, look in your wallet, guys, and if you do have an insurance card, look at it, because you can kiss it goodbye. Premiums you're going to pay and some of the hoops that you're going to have to jump through are just going to be so bloody frustrating, and I don't get it. I mean, how can we be a country that's this powerful, that has this much money, and has this much opportunity? How can we be that kind of a country, and yet we can't seem to get this right? And other countries are getting it wrong, believe me, but some other countries are getting it right. And I don't understand. It's mind-boggling. And here's the thing. It's typical, and we knew this was going to happen because the script is already written. Hurry up. Let's try to push it through. We ram it through, and it's too many pages, so no one's reading it. Then we have to, you know, then we're stuck. Then we're stuck with ultimately what's voted on, and it's rife with problems. So then some people think that they're going to get this health care coverage, and it's going to be a song, and it's going to just take care of everything, which is not true. Then other people that own businesses are trying to figure out what do they do so they don't get crippled by this. It's a nightmare. It really is. There are a few good nuggets in it, like the pre-existing conditions for kids especially, but there are so many things in this that are like the pretty package that looks good, but then there's nothing inside. But we knew this coming down the pike. However, the idea of the repeal, forget it. There's no way. There's no way they have the numbers, at least not now. At least not now, the numbers aren't there. And this mandate delay is not going to fix the problems. And this is exactly what they're saying. It's not going to fix the problems. So, great, it's another delay. That's what they're really good at doing in Washington. Enact a law, screwed up, try to figure out how to make it up. Remember how many times the government was going to close because the budgets weren't there? It was messed up. And then at the last second, deals were done. Well, here we go again. This was a crummy deal to begin with. So premiums going up 30 to 50%. Can you afford a 50% increase in a premium? I don't think so. I mean, that's not a, the number probably is not a survivable number for most people. So the delay just, if anything, raises more and more questions about this. And even the, and we had this guy on, Nick Tate, the Obamacare Survival Guide, the Affordable Care Act, what it means for you and your health care. And he went through a whole bunch of things for us. And this is the stuff that, you know, we're talking about now. If you have any thoughts on that or anything else, remember, kick it to me at americatonight.net. You can also friend us, and you can tweet with us, too, if you want. Hang with us. We're climbing the wall. I'll meet you on the other side.
Join us in Joshua Tree, California, August 9th through 11th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of in-depth exploration into ancient alien, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. The conference will feature films, panels, lectures, workshops, and field work with leading experts including Stephen Greer, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Graham Hancock, Jim Mars, Michael Tellinger, Laura Eisenhower, Jason Martell, David Wilcock, Doc Wallach, David Zareda, and many, many more of the biggest names in UFOlogy. The conference will coincide with the Perseid Meteor Shower, and the Joshua Tree Retreat Center offers the perfect place for sightings through the clear desert sky. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.com. We look forward to seeing you in Joshua Tree in August for a serious look at mounting evidence that we are not alone. For more information, go to contactinthedesert.com or call 760-365-8371.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot, all in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size, and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Things related to green, things related to ethanol, and we can separate them all in different baskets. But let's stick for now with the ethanol mandate. We went through this maybe a month ago, and we were talking about the renewable fuel standard and how RFS slips under the radar of most people. But actually, Congress just started a couple of days of hearings. They started it on Tuesday on the RFS, and they're talking, you know, it's kind of like a who's who list, if you will, from industries across the board who are going to testify. What we want to talk about now is, what does the renewable fuel standard mean, why you should care about it, and who better to toss it around with us than Dan Kish. He is the IER Senior VP of Policy, so the Institute for Energy Research. Dan, thanks again for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you.
Explain this in layman's terms. I mean, I think people are smart, and I think they get RFS, but maybe some people don't really understand. You know, they pull up at the pump, the ethanol's not a big deal in their backyard, or they think it's not a big deal. Explain what it is and why we should pay attention to this.
Well, it started out as the idea was We can't be dependent on these foreign sources from places that don't like us for our oil, and we haven't got enough of our own oil. Therefore, let's do what we do best in the United States. We're a great farming nation. We raise huge amounts of crops. Let's try using some of our homegrown fuel. It's renewable. It grows every year. And let's try putting that in our fuel. And we've done that for quite a number of years. But in the fairly recent past, most notably 2007, Congress took the number from about 5 billion gallons a year, which is a small percentage of the total amount of gallons that we use, and jacked it up to 36 billion gallons, a sevenfold increase. And we're at about 14 billion gallons a year now, so it's rapidly increased, and the problem is it's beginning to be more than 10% of the amount of gasoline that we use, and it's having a pretty significant effect on the price of corn. That's good for corn farmers, bad for everyone who uses corn, including farmers and people who raise livestock and anyone who consumes it. And since the United States is such a huge force in the corn markets worldwide, it affects the price worldwide. And what's happening now is we've begun, our economy's bad, we're not using as much gasoline, and the amount that the government said has to go into the fuel supply each year, and it's an increasing amount, is now outstripping the ability of it to be safely used in vehicles. And there are a bunch of other machinations as well with regard to credits. If you can't buy it because you're not close to someone who has ethanol, you can buy pieces of paper from the government, in essence, that somebody else will trade. But the price of them has gone up 1,400% this year because of this problem. And it's beginning to show up at the gas pump. I think everybody's watching gas go up. This is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. And within a couple of years, if something doesn't get adjusted, we will be putting all the corn ethanol that we can in our gas, and the type of ethanol that they wanted to be able to be put into gasoline to get up to that 36 billion gallons doesn't even exist, Kate. It's something called cellulosic ethanol. No one's making it. They're trying because it would be very lucrative to be able to do it, but they haven't cracked a nut. And yet the law says, starting in a couple of years, the rest of all that 36 billion gallons, 21 billion gallons, more than all the ethanol that we use today, has to come from this source that doesn't exist. So people are beginning to look at it and say, something's wrong here. This is not working as we plan.
Yeah, so obviously there's a vested interest in another direction here. How tough will it be to reverse this, do you think?
Well, it's very tough. This is one of the reasons, to be honest with you, Kate, those of us who are a little skeptical of government intervention in these things, try to steer clear at the time from doing this, because people go out in good faith and they plow new ground, they build new ethanol plants, they make all the investments necessary to move this around based on the fact that the government has dictated something, and then circumstances turns out the government was wrong, and then they have to back out of it. And, you know, we would have had organic, and by that I mean natural growth in the market for ethanol, just as a natural consequence. It wouldn't be as big as it is today, but we would be using ethanol even if the government said you don't have to use ethanol. We just wouldn't be using these forced numbers, and people wouldn't have been compelled to go out and spend as much, risk as much money on this. So it's always very, very, very difficult to pull down a program, even if it's a mistake, because people have made investments. And it's one of the reasons why the government should not dictate these policies. Free citizens in a free market economy ought to be making those decisions and other people ought to be responding to them by supplying the things they ask for and need.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research, Senior VP of Policy. And Dan, I mean, you know this thing backwards and forwards. So what do you see futuristically is a better or, I don't know, an easier, and maybe there's no such easy, but an easier road for us to swallow, a better road to go?
Well, you know, it's almost like the Hippocratic Oath at this point. You know, first do no harm. To me, Kate. Right now, we've got a situation where everything is beginning to break down at the amount of ethanol that we use today. At the very least, what the government could do, and they have the flexibility to do this, but they've said they're not going to, is stop it in its tracks. Say, okay, the number is no longer going to be some fictitious number we cooked up 6 or 7 years ago about a product that doesn't exist. We made a mistake. Let's acknowledge we made a mistake and stop doing any more damage, and maybe that other source will come along. Ideally, we'd let this go back to its markets. These decisions were also made at a time when the United States was seen as running out of oil. We now will surpass Saudi Arabia as the number one producer of oil by 2017 in 4 years. We are the fastest growing oil producer in the world. And we now know that the United States and North America, if you include Canada and probably Mexico as well, has sufficient oil to supply our needs without having to use our food and without having to get it from places that hate us to last our continent for scores of years, if not centuries, literally 200 years of supply in North America.
Yeah. So we go through these couple of days. Let's say the worst happens. As you mentioned, it's very tough to flip this around. It doesn't get flipped around. When's the next crack at going through this process again, or will it happen in the near future, the next year or two?
Well, the pressure is going to build, Kate, because the problems are. This isn't a problem of not being able to do it. We can't produce as much as the law says we must produce. It's just not. The system cannot bear that, and they were relying on something being invented that hasn't been invented, which ought to make you wonder about too. You know, let's pass a law that says that the weather has to always be sunny. Well, what happens when it rains? Who do you go after? This is the sort of thing that happens, and we have to be on our guard against, because obviously bad decisions are made, commitments are made, the financial commitments are made, and the like. But the truth is, the pressure is only going to grow on change, and frankly, the change ought to be made now so that less disruption happens. Because if prices truly begin to take off in a way that gets huge numbers, because most people are fairly supportive of the concept of ethanol, they may not know the details, but the idea is one that has some support. If that loses all of its support because the disruption, the economic disruption because of the law, then there will be a backlash in whatever Congress and the politicians in Washington have to do to straighten it out will be much more severe and much more unfair to people who made good faith commitments based on the fact that they thought the law was going to have this going forward. So by at least slowing things down, maybe putting a hold on it for now as they could, but apparently won't. The administration, the White House said that they won't. It causes significant problems, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but those prices at the pump aren't coming down.
No, I agree with you. You can feel it and see it, and yeah, everybody's feeling it in their wallet and pocketbooks, etc. So keep an eye on it. This is part of the reason why. Dan Kish, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Kate.
It's the price of grass keeps on rising up.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, I always say that the show is about the buzz in the backyard. Could there be any bigger buzz than what happened in the Trayvon Martin case? Really, George Zimmerman being tried for the murder of Trayvon Martin. The court of public opinion convicted Zimmerman, I think, before he even hit the courtroom, and then now we're seeing that there's lots of conversation near, far, and everywhere in between, and it's kind of a mixed bag at this point. So the president, heading into the weekend, held a little bit of an impromptu press conference and surprised a lot of people by some of the things that he had to say related to the case. I thought we would take a look back and listen to that because of what's now happening across the country. Take a listen.
Well, I want to come out here first. first of all, to tell you that Jay is prepared for all your questions and is very much looking forward to the session. Second thing is I want to let you know that over the next couple of weeks, there are going to obviously be a whole range of issues, immigration, economics, et cetera. We'll try to arrange a fuller press conference to address your questions. The reason I actually wanted to come out today is not to take questions, but to speak to an issue that obviously has gotten a lot of attention over the course of the last week, the issue of the Trayvon Martin ruling. I gave a preliminary statement right after the ruling on Sunday, but watching the debate over the course of the last week, I thought it might be useful for me to expand on my thoughts a little bit. First of all, I want to make sure that, once again, I send my thoughts and prayers as well as Michelle's to the family of Trayvon Martin, and to remark on the incredible grace and dignity with which they've dealt with the entire situation. I can only imagine what they're going through, and it's remarkable how they've handled it. The second thing I want to say is to reiterate what I said on Sunday, which is there are going to be a lot of arguments about the legal issues in the case. I'll let all the legal analysts and talking heads address those issues. The judge conducted the trial in a professional manner. The prosecution and the defense made their arguments. The juries were properly instructed that in a case such as this, reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works. But I did want to just talk a little bit about context and how people have responded to it and how people are feeling. When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago. And when you think about why, in the African-American community at least, there's a lot of pain around what happened here, I think it's important to recognize that the African-American community is looking at this issue through a set of experiences and a history that that doesn't go away. There are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African-Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often. And I don't want to exaggerate this, but those sets of experiences inform how the African-American community interprets what happened one night in Florida. And it's inescapable for people to bring those experiences to bear. The African-American community is also knowledgeable that there is a history of racial disparities in the application of our criminal laws. Everything from the death penalty to enforcement of our drug laws. And that ends up having an impact in terms of how people interpret the case. Now, this isn't to say that the African-American community is naive about the fact that African-American young men are disproportionately involved in the criminal justice system, that they're disproportionately both victims and perpetrators of violence. It's not to make excuses for that fact, although black folks do interpret the reasons for that in a historical context. They understand that some of the violence that takes place in poor black neighborhoods around the country is born out of a very violent past in this country, and that the poverty and dysfunction that we see in those communities can be traced to a very difficult history. And so the fact that sometimes that's unacknowledged adds to the frustration. And the fact that a lot of African-American boys are painted with a broad brush, and the excuse is given, well, there are these statistics out there that show that African-American boys are more violent. Using that as an excuse to then see sons treated differently causes pain. I think the African-American community is also not naive in understanding that statistically, somebody like Trayvon Martin was probably statistically more likely to be shot by a peer than he was by somebody else. So folks understand the challenges that exist for African-American boys. But they get frustrated, I think, if they feel that there's no context for it, and that context is being denied. And that all contributes, I think, to a sense that if a white male teen was involved in the same kind of scenario, that from top to bottom, both the outcome and the aftermath might have been different. Now, the question for me at least, and I think for a lot of folks, is where do we take this? How do we learn some lessons from this and move in a positive direction? You know, I think it's understandable that there have been demonstrations and vigils and protests, and some of that stuff is just going to have to work its way through as long as it remains nonviolent. If I see any violence, then I will remind folks that that dishonors what happened to Trayvon Martin and his family. But beyond protests or vigils, the question is, are there some concrete things that we might be able to do? I know that...
All right, so the president speaking from the White House press briefing room about Trayvon Martin and the verdict of the court. Wow, what a surprise. I think this was, first of all, for the people who were there, but to so many to listen to what he had to say. Now, some of what the president said you can't deny. Okay, he's speaking through his own eyes. But here's the thing. Ultimately, in bringing this up, where do you go from here? I mean, he said it himself. So what's the answer to the question that he's posing? There was no great big solution. And I would also say, what about the other people who have been wronged on the other sides of this? And boy, did that take a subtle jab at George Zimmerman. If you want to get in touch with us, you can through the miracle of the internet, americatonight.net.
Bye. great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.